Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, Leaders Speak, a conversation on leadership and public service. The task of growing leaders may be as important a task as can be found today in public service, one which will determine whether government programs will be run efficiently and produce the performance and results citizens expect and deserve. The critical need to grow the next generation of public servant leaders is a central responsibility of leaders themselves. Leaders beget leaders. It's about inspiring the next generation to serve and transform the way government works. Here's Chris Mim, Managing Director of the Strategic Issues Group at the U.S. Government Accountability Office, on the importance of public service in the 21st century.
I firmly believe, and I've said this very often, that this is the most exciting time in at least a generation to be involved in the public service. And it turns on the two things that I mentioned just a moment ago, the long-term fiscal challenges and the governance issues. And the challenges that federal managers face, the decisions that federal decision makers face in the executive branch and in Congress are really unprecedented in the scope that they confront. The need for good information, the need for good managers, the need for good people to help us navigate our way through these enormous challenges that we as a country face in the next 5, 10, 15 years is just enormous. And so it's an exciting time and a very challenging time to be involved in public management. That's the first point that I would make to people. The second point that I would make is that, you know, the importance of service is that it's to show demonstrable results from their work. That's something that people can come into government from and have complete confidence that what they're working on is improving the lives and livelihood of their fellow citizens. And that's a very, very big deal for people. And so it's both kind of the intellectual excitement and the opportunity to be a part of something big, as well as the opportunity to return something to our fellow citizens, I think are two very important reasons to be involved in the public service.
Making a difference can take many forms in public service. At first glance, it may also involve many small steps, but wonderful opportunities to lead. Here's Dave Winogrand, Assistant Chief Management Officer at DOD.
I think there's something very noble about this call to public service. And I would offer to, you know, the young people that are thinking about what they want to do with their lives, that it's a chance to make a big difference. I mean, you know, I think across the government, there's opportunities to make big difference. If I can be parochial for a minute, I would say in the Department of Defense, you know, there are leadership opportunities that you get if you join the military or if you become a government civil servant that, you know, you might not get in other career fields. Leadership at a younger age, the ability to run things and manage and make a difference. And so, again, back to this idea about, you know, the workforce of our future, the next generation workforce. I mean, they are our prime demographic. 18-year-olds coming out of high school to join the military, 21, 22-year-olds coming out of college to join the military or come to work as government civilians or come to work for our industry partners, which are all part of the total force, right? I mean, if we can give them the tools that they need, if we can give them the work kind of environment that they need, if we can change the way we do supervision so it's not about once a year doing a performance appraisal, but it's more about mentoring and giving leadership opportunities and coaching, then wow. So I would say to you, I guess, if you're thinking about careers of public service, there are certain skills that you want to have. I mean, there are certain basic skills that no matter what kind of job you end up with are very helpful to you. You know, how does money work? Because understanding financial management is understanding the lifeblood of any organization, public or private. So financial management, understanding program management, how do you run projects, understanding how the personnel system works. There's sort of all sort of level, you know, sort of entry points about doing it. Stay abreast of technology because today everyone is a technologist. There's almost no job that isn't touched by technology. But really importantly, understand the place that you want to work and its mission. Be able to talk the language of the mission of the organization. Be able to talk about how what needs to be done will help improve that mission, or else you're sort of talking in a vacuum and people only listen to you a little bit. I would say to you, come on board. Make a difference. There's huge opportunities out there.
According to Michael Astrew, Commissioner of the U.S. Social Security Administration, your fate's largely in your control, but don't overplan.
When I was in college, most of my classmates had career plans, and I set out sort of simplistically just to have an interesting and valuable life and just not worry about where it took me. I think the most important thing is to don't overplan and just go out and do what you believe in. and do what seems valuable. You know, I've had to reinvent myself a number of times, both in the public sector and the private sector. And I think that it's given me opportunities I've never dreamed possible. So when I talk to our leadership classes, one of the things I tend to hit hard on is that, you know, your fates are largely within your control. If you keep investing in yourself, keep trying new things, keep challenging new things, make sacrifices for the organization earlier in your career, and show that you can do different things, you're just more likely to be there and be the person that has to answer the call.
Answering the call matters, and public service can take many different forms. Craig Fugate, FEMA administrator, understands this well and admonishes us to
never pass up the opportunity to volunteer, whether it's in a local response organization like Red Cross or your local county response agencies or city response agencies. The best teaching you'll ever get is the opportunity to serve in a disaster or to participate in exercises to get that experience of what things are like that are not always easily conveyed in a classroom setting. But if you're going to do this, recognize it's not about you being in charge, it's not about you having a lot of power, and it's not about you getting a lot of credit. If things work well, somebody else will be getting the credit, which is good. The team will get recognized, which is good. However, if you fail, you will get a lot of attention. You will live with the consequences of it. And it's not for the faint-hearted. But in those few cases where you make a difference, it's worth everything. Same thing in disasters. We spend bulk of our time working and building teams, struggling through the bureaucracy and battles of budget and authorities and building and practicing and for something that, for most emergency managers, may be a once-in-a-lifetime event. But if it works well, don't expect to be the hero.
There are many opportunities in public service, more than you might think. Scientist, teacher, and former Undersecretary for Science at the U.S. Department of Energy, Dr. Raymond Orbach, brings this point home.
I've had quite a long history in academia. I did my research work at Oxford as a postdoc, and then I came to Harvard as an assistant professor. It's been a few years there, and then the lure of California, where I come from, was very great, and I joined the faculty at UCLA. There, I filled a number of scientific and also administrative positions, and after 20 years was appointed as the first provost of the College of Letters and Science at UCLA. It's a large institution, so I grew up learning about administration in real time as I grappled with curriculum and students and their needs during that decade. I was then asked to become chancellor of the University of California, Riverside, where I spent the next 10 years. So my experience in the University of California has lasted almost 40 years. Well, 40 years is a long time to be with a single institution, and so I retired in the beginning of 2002. And simultaneous with that, President Bush invited me to serve as the director of the Office of Science. If you think about art and you think about a painting, you're taught that your eye automatically gravitates to the upper right-hand corner. And so the artist then puts together his painting, his tableau, in such a way that your eye is drawn to that corner. If it's not, you're troubled, and the artist can trouble you by coming up with a painting that makes you feel uneasy. Scientists do the same thing. Scientific discovery is not some set of equations that we know and we write down and we solve and eureka. Scientific discovery is coming up with something completely new. Quite often when we discover things, they're so complex and so cumbersome that we wonder whether they really are true or not. And scientists have a tendency to think that they have finally gotten the answer when it's beautiful, when it's simple, when suddenly they see that all of that complexity can be bottled up in a relatively simple expression or simple structure. It's that aesthetic feeling of simplicity that drives discovery and makes one feel that you have created something. I often say to young people, how many fields in the world can you work in that you have a discovery that is yours, that no one can take away from you? You're the one that figured it out, And everybody else who comes along after knows that. That is so exciting. It's also terribly difficult. More often than not, it's very frustrating where you keep going down wrong paths. And you know they're wrong because in order to explain it, it's too complex. There's something wrong out there. So it's that aesthetic sense of simplicity that I think is behind scientific discovery and which keeps us going, just as exactly as an artist does when they describe their tableau. I view public service as a payback. My own career has been very generously supported by people through their taxes and by our federal government. I view the opportunity of coming to Washington and doing the best job I can as a way of expressing my thanks to this country for the wonderful opportunities it has given me. I would advise young people to get into discovery. It doesn't matter if it's the physical sciences, the mathematics, biological sciences, the science of discovery. It is so exciting, and it has with it a rigor and a process that they will find invaluable in other fields. I would then ask them, over time, to think about payback, about giving this marvelous country of ours a return on its investment in us. That's the way I view federal service, state service, teaching, local service. Each of us expresses our thanks for the support our country has given us through these vehicles.
Dr. Jonathan Woodson, Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs, recognizes the need to give back, but he also offers wonderful advice when going into public service.
Bring your intellect, bring your passion. Don't be dissuaded by, again, challenges, because it's when you meet those challenges that you learn the most about yourself and you grow the most. Be ready to operate in that gray zone. That's where all the fun is, okay? If you knew and could predict the outcome of your efforts, that would be no fun at all. Mm-hmm. But it's about taking on these challenges and then creating enduring systems that benefit society far into the future. So public service is, I think, great. It's important. And, you know, and I'm a subscriber to sort of the Jeffersonian approach to sort of public service, which is you come from private, you publicly serve, and then you go back, because then you don't get stale and you renew yourself, and then you come back for another, you know, set of duties if they become available to you.
Raphael Boris, Undersecretary for Management at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, explains why public service combines the best of all worlds. How can anyone pass up an opportunity both to serve their country and practice their craft? Boris explains.
It's the best career. People come into the public service for all kinds of different reasons. A lot of people ask me, why did I come back into public service? And I really answer it by, how could I not? How could I pass up an opportunity both to serve my country, to practice my craft, to do it in a place that arguably, to me anyway, has the most important mission of all the civilian agencies in the federal government? It's almost like a calling. It's so important. There are trade-offs between going into either the nonprofit, the for-profit, or the public sector. But I think it starts with wanting to do it. You know, I'm here because I want to do it. So I say to the young people quite often, in addition to, you know, if you want to get better, you got to get good first. I always say to them at the outset, you have to want to. You know, in Spanish we say, you have to have ganas. You have to have that desire. If you don't have it, you can't manufacture it.
According to Dr. Paul Anastas, who leads EPA's research and development activities, there are a few efforts more rewarding than public service.
There are a few things more rewarding than being a public servant. I take those words very seriously, that you are a servant to the public. And that when you think about your life's work and you think about dedicating yourself to something beyond your own interests and trying to make the world a better place, that I know of no better place to accomplish that than being a public servant.
But Dan Tanglerini, Assistant Secretary of the Treasury for Management, thinks public service is the responsibility of every American citizen.
Nike may fine me for saying this, but I'd say just do it. I think it's a responsibility of every American citizen in some way to participate in our American political and democratic process. So get involved at the local level, the community level, state level. Look for opportunities to serve in the federal government. It's an amazing environment to do work that is consequential and has meaningful impacts for not just people who are here today, but people who are here tomorrow. Again, this little book from 1842 is part of the history of the Treasury Department. There are really hardworking, dedicated public servants working on very important issues there in 1842 who have helped build the foundation for the great country we have today. The federal government is a place where you can have an opportunity to build the foundation of the country we're going to have for tomorrow. I would just say that my nearly 20 years in public service, I wouldn't change a minute of it. I might ask for one or two more minutes with my kids, but I think they understand, too, that this is really important, meaningful, and exciting work. And so it's something I just feel tremendously honored to have the opportunity to have been able to do. And I would suggest that anyone who's contemplating it should dive in. And anyone who's doing it, I just want to thank them for their hard work.
For all of our guests today, being a positive force for change, making a difference, serving others, and leading by example are characteristics of an effective public servant. We hope you've enjoyed today's conversation on leadership and public service. This has been Leaders Speak, a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation on leadership and public service. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.